Saturday, May 13th, 2023, and this is the Education Policy and Finance Conference Committee. Today we are going to walk through three articles, our last three, Article 1, Article 5, and Article 10. They all have amendments, so we will have our staff walk through each amendment, and then we'll take time for questions or comments, and then we will make those votes. And we can, if you have questions for our staff at any time, please let us know. But let's begin with Article 1. You should have it in your packet. Oops, excuse me. Article 1 is in the green sleeve. Every time I hear that, I feel like we should be singing Green Sleeves. That really ages some of us, eh?
Hey, that was my favorite.
Okay.
Booker T and the MGs.
Is that
the fact that you know who's saying it, that was very interesting.
Is that what was?
I have no idea. I only played it on the
I think Josiah Hill is so.
All right, so I'm not sure which one of our staff will walk through this one. So this is the House. Oh, yep, there it is. So is it Mr. Strom or Ms. Para?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Tim Strom from House Research.
Thank you. You may go ahead.
Madam Chair, members, we're going to start with Article 1. There's a map in the package for you. Would you like to proceed like yesterday with the amendments discussed all together first?
Pardon me?
Would you like to proceed as yesterday with the amendments discussed first?
Yep, let's do that.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We'll go through the amendments in order that are in the packet. I'll speak to the ones with an H beginning at the top, and the Senate will speak to the ones with the Senate marking of SCH before the amendment mark in the upper right-hand corner. The first amendment, Madam Chair, is the A55 amendment, and this makes the changes to the general education basic formula allowance. As Ms. Hofer and Ms. Beckel explained yesterday when stepping through the spreadsheet, the formula allowance is set for fiscal years 24 and 25, and then for following years increases at the rate of inflation, but within a band between a 2 and a 3% increase. There's some calculation language in here to ensure that it's consistent how that inflation rate is calculated. And then new language to the conference committee begins on page 1.19 that was in result of the conversation that this conference committee had about whether additional increases or not could happen by the legislature to the basic formula allowance. So, Madam Chair, that's a quick summary of the A55 amendment.
Do we have any questions or discussion to speak to? No? Well, with that, members, all in favor of the A55, please say, oops. Oh, Senator, or Chair Joaquin, would you like to move the A55?
Yes, I'll move the A55 before the committee.
All right. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it, and the A55 is adopted.
All right, thank you.
Now we are on to the A65.
Thank you so much, Madam Chair. The next amendment is the A65 amendment. Senator Duckworth earlier, a few days ago, raised the concern that to make sure that the paper forms are collected this fall. That was the ongoing intent of both the House and Senate bills, along with the free meals bill that was enacted earlier this year. The language in this amendment, the A65 amendment, simply clarifies that indeed the paper application forms for free meals are still required this fall.
Any comments or questions, members? Senator Makewade.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm just wondering, that was the intent, was to still have those paper applications this fall when we passed the universal grade?
Yes, we did want to give the schools that opportunity for 1 year to sort of get acclimated to the whole process, and hopefully from that point on, we won't have to do that.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments? All right. Senator Pryor, would you like to make a motion to accept the A65?
Yes. Representative Pryor?
Did I say Senator?
Oh, my gosh.
Representative Pryor?
I would like to make that motion, Madam Chair.
Thank you. All in favor of the A65, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The A65 is adopted. All right. Next, we are on to the A86.
Madam Chair, members, thank you. The A86 amendment addresses the unemployment insurance situation. And let me describe for you what's in this amendment. Similar language to this amendment was seen in an initial version of the House bill. What happens in Section 9, starting on 1.4, is a special account in the Special Revenue Fund is created, and the amount appropriated will be deposited in that fund. This fund is a reimbursement fund that the Commissioner of Education will administer, and it will reimburse employees for their special education costs. On lines 117 to 120, there's the annual appropriation from the account for the administration of the reimbursement account. Subdivision 5 lists that the reimbursement is for school districts, charter schools, intermediates, and other cooperatives, and Perpich and the Minnesota State Academies. Let's see here. I think, Madam Chair, we may need to get an additional copy. The back page of this amendment looks to be, unless it ended up elsewhere, looks to be missing. Let me describe what that is, but members should have that copy in front of them. The second part of this amendment puts $135 million in that fund to fund the account, and this has an effective date at the end of May, so essentially an immediate effective date. But, Madam Chair, if we could hold off on this until we get the second page, that would be preferred.
That sounds like a good idea, Mr. Strom. Let's pause on this one and come back to it. And while we're getting that second page, let's move on to the A91.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The A91 amendment is to the transportation sparsity formula. As members know, in addition to the front-end calculation on that formula, there's also an unreimbursed cost part of that formula. That amount is currently set in statute at 18.2%. This amendment would change that amount to 35% starting in fiscal year 24, so that the reimbursement would go from 18.2 to 35% beginning in fiscal year 24.
Any questions, comments, members? All right. Representative Hill, would you like to move the A91 amendment?
Yes, and a quick comment. We're hoping to continue to work on this. This is a massive burden on many of our districts, particularly in greater Minnesota, and in communities that have been devastated by consolidation. And so we need to do more work here, and I pledge to do that. But I will move the A91.
Thank you, Representative. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The A91 amendment is adopted. Next, we are on to the A38 amendment, and that would be our Senate.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. Betsy Gelseth, Senate nonpartisan analyst. The A38 relates to local optional revenue and adjusting those equalization factors to ensure the referendum market value levies are statewide or neutral statewide.
Any questions or comments, members? No? Senator Swadzinski, would you be willing to move the A38?
So moved.
All right. All in favor of the A38, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? The A38 is adopted. We are now on to the A41.
The A41 relates to the English Learner Revenue, House Article 1, Section 8, and Senate Article 1, Section 5, and this updates the per-pupil amounts for both the basic and concentration part of English Learner Revenue, and it also includes a cross-subsidy of 25% for fiscal year 2027 and later.
Representative Joachim, question or comment?
A comment real quickly. I just want to thank the committee for their work on this. I think we went into this with a little bit of an increase on the per pupil formula and filling up the smaller cross-subsidy first, and then realized if we put a little bit more money on the per pupil formula going forward, that cross-subsidy will take care of itself, and I think that's the good way to do it. So thank you.
Any other questions or comments? All right. Senator Makewade, would you like to move the A41?
So moved, Madam Chair.
Thank you. So all in favor of the A41, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? The A41 is adopted. We will wait to get the full copy of the amendment that was missing the second half. But in the meantime, could we please start going through what's this called?
The map.
The section map. I always call it the table. I don't know why. All right. Mr. Strom, is that you or Ms. Para?
Madam Chair, I'd be glad to start, and Ms. Yelseth and I will alternate as necessary. And if Madam Chair would prefer us to call it the table it is.
Call it what
so
it is.
So if you'll look at the table in front of you, members,
thank you.
We'll work through these provisions pretty quickly. We've been through these with the bill summary, and I'll just start down the list in the column label provision proposed, and when we get to a Senate listing there, we'll switch to Ms. Yeltseth. The first provision is the requirement for school districts to provide access to both menstrual products and opiate antagonists in the, or just the menstrual products, I'm sorry. This is the first section. The section is the publication of the review and comments and the timelines for those, changing that date. The provisions were the same in both bills. The third is the provision that's the same in both bills where the House and Senate agreed that the school board could contract with the non-public school to arrange their pupil transportation for the non-public children according to an agreement. This was similar to the practice that occurred during the pandemic years.
Madam Chair. Mr. Strom, I'm so sorry to interrupt you.
Senator Makewade.
Looking at the spreadsheet that we went over yesterday, I saw that there was a line for menstrual products and naloxone, and there was an appropriation, but are we just doing menstrual products? No.
No, we are. We are including the naloxone allowance within that appropriation for menstrual products, okay. And so that was one of the ways that we could make sure that those supplies were in the nurses' offices and that those life-saving things processes are in there. So, Representative Joachim.
Thank you, Chair Kunesh. Senator McQuaid, I was confused on that, too, when I was looking through and had to ask nonpartisan staff. Because the health committee is already carrying the language around the training and having them have to be in school, we just had to have the appropriation with the rider language, so we didn't need the extra language. So, no, I had the same question.
Senator Swadzinski.
Thank you. Ms. Hofer, how many times a day did I ask you to make sure that both there was enough money for the opioid-ish, the naloxone and menstrual products? Would you speculate?
Ms. Hofer.
Madam Chair and Senator Swadzinski, thank you for the question several times per day, sometimes per hour.
I knew this, we knew that this was, both of those items were a top priority and will really make a difference for our students. And so pleased to be able to have that in our bill. And any other questions or comments? All right, you may continue.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Article 1, Section 5 is the next provision. This is the Area Learning Center transportation done on a reimbursement basis, on a capped reimbursement basis. That's carried at the amount listed on the spreadsheet, which we think will be about, given the fiscal note that came out recently, about half of the costs based on that estimate. Madam Chair, members, the next provision is the House provision, Article 1, Section 6. This expands the Rural Career and Technical Education Consortium to make that a statewide consortium. The next several sections relate to English learning, and perhaps the Senate would like to speak to those as the amendment came from the Senate side on those provisions.
Thank you, Mr. Strom. Ms. Holfer? Oh, excuse me. Ms. Charlotte?
Oh, thank you, Madam Chair and members. So the next section, Section 7 of the House and Section 4 of the Senate relate to the English learner and updating those per pupil amounts and then including that 25% cross subsidy starting in fiscal year 2027 and later. So the House and Senate came in at different ways to do that in different amounts, and the amendment that we reviewed, the A41, showed what we decided on that. Moving on to House Section 9, Senate Section 8, the basic revenue formula allowance. Again, the House and Senate came in at different numbers and appropriation amounts for that, and the final agreement was 4%, 2%, and then adjusting for the cost of inflation between 2 and 3%, so fiscal year 26 would be 2%, and fiscal year 27 would be 2.17%. Moving on to House Section 10, that was a House provision only, and that expands extended time revenue to include summer services to students who are attending a day treatment program or who are placed at a children's residential facility. And then Section 11 of the House and Section 9 of the Senate relate to that local optional revenue and updating those equalization factors to make sure that the referendum market values are neutral statewide. And that is that A38 amendment that we reviewed a few minutes ago. And then I'll give it back to Mr. Strom.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The next several provisions came from the governor's recommendations for fiscal year 26 and later. These have to do with the way that compensatory revenue will be calculated in the absence of action by the legislature next year. The House members may wish to speak to their plan on this, but essentially the three sections here ensure that compensatory revenue won't drop in those years, and if Chair Representative Hill or Clardy or Pryor or Joachim would like to speak to the House intent there, I think the goal was that these are placeholders until the compensatory formula can be closely examined next year, seeing what changes happened this fall with both the direct certification of from the medical assistance eligible families and for the change in the paper form compliance rate after the new school meals is enacted. So these three sections first take effect in fiscal year 26.
Thank you, Mr. Strom. Representative Hill, you wanted to speak to this?
Thank you, Chair Kunesh. Yes, I know there's a lot of concern around the changes to how we calculate the numbers around compensatory, and this allows for a little bit of time to ensure that our new process is doing what it's engineered to do. So we're thrilled about the opportunity to keep those forms in place, but we have a lot of faith that where we're going is going to lead us forward.
Thank you. Anybody else want to comment on that? Nope. All right. You may continue, Mr. Strong.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The next provision is the basic skills revenue. This is contained in the EL changes that Ms. Yeltseth discussed. The next two changes refer to Senators Swedzinski's and McQuaid's questions regarding the funding for the menstrual products and the opioid antagonists, and there's where the $2 is added as aid to the operating capital amount, so that there will be revenue for each school district for those costs. Section 20 on is the provision that where the amendment was just adopted for setting the transportation sparsity unreimbursed cost amount at 35% per year. The next provision, Article 1, Section 21, is the class size reporting by school site. The language on the Senate side was adopted on this provision, or is proposed for adoption on this provision. Section 22, and then I'll turn it back to Ms. Yeltseth. Senate 22 is the compensatory uses, restructuring and narrowing and reorganizing those uses a little bit.
Ms. Yeltseth.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. The House Section 23 and Senate Section 16 related to compensatory revenue and what percentage districts had to keep the compensatory revenue at the specific site that was generating that revenue. And the House had 60%, while the Senate had 80%, and the agreement was the Senate's 80%. Section 24 of the House and Section also 24 of the Senate related to compensatory revenue and then reporting. And so the Senate side was more technical with that section, only making like technical changes, but the House required a school district to report whether the programs funded with compensatory revenue are consistent with best practices, and they also required the department and the regional centers of excellence to provide schools with resources to identify best practices when implementing compensatory revenue programs. And the agreement was the House language. Moving on to House Section 25 and Senate Section 17, renewing an operating referendum by school board approval. The main difference here was that the House was ongoing and the Senate limited that to one time, and the agreement was the Senate's one-time language. House Section 26, Senate Section 18, related to the unemployment insurance program. And both sections had similar intent. The language is different, and this just ensured that the hourly workers that would be receive unemployment insurance benefits during the summer term could not raise levies. So we did take the House language with that 886 amendment on that. And then the next section is a Senate-only provision, Section 27. And that related to increasing the number of board members on the Minnesota High School League by 2 members. So that will go from 20 to 22 members. And we adopted the Senate's, we adopted that provision. And then moving on to House Section 29, Senate Section 19, that's that providing unemployment insurance benefits to hourly workers during the summer terms. Both bodies had the similar intent here, and the final agreement was the House, where they included higher education. The Senate had not originally included higher education employees. And I think that was the main difference there. Moving on to House Section 30, Senate Section 29. It was the same. This relates to, this is more technical and modifies the process for when a K-12 education credit program certification is denied, and then also corrects some statutory citations. And I think I'll just turn it over to Mr. Strom if he doesn't mind.
Mr. Strom.
Madam Chair, members, the next provision then is the paper forms provision. Article 1, Section 33, this is the amendment we just discussed to ensure that...
Mr. Strom, may I just interrupt you for a minute? Our House members need to run upstairs for a quick minute. So we will be recessing until the call of the chair as soon as our housemates come back. Thank you. Thank you.
Just as a heads up, our House members are returning, but they have to be back on the floor by noon or at noon. So we are going to move along as quickly as we can once all of our members are are seated, and we will try to do our best to be productive. So we're just going to wait until Chair Joachim arrives, and I did see Representative Clarity here, and Representative Hill should be here momentarily. You all should have found the A86 as well, so we'll go back to that before we adopt this entire article.
Madam Chair, are you ready? I'm so sorry.
I am. Why don't we continue then?
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. On the A86 amendment on UI, is that where you wanted us to pick up?
Let's pick up there. That's
okay,
perfect.
Okay, so we're on page two now of the A86 amendment, if everybody's got that. And Madam Chair, there were just a few changes left in this to explain on the fund. The first of those is that fund has a four-year time period. The money goes in one time. The fund lasts for 4 years and expires on June 30th, 2027. And then the aid amount you can see there on line 2.9 is $135 million. That aid goes in for, is appropriated in fiscal 24, transferred to that fund, and would be available in that fund until spent or until June 30th, 2027. So in summary, Madam Chair, under the UI amendment that's here, the services that are covered are already in the bill. The account is created, funded at $135 million on a one-time basis. Payments will be made on a reimbursement basis by the Commissioner of Education out of that fund. And that fund, if there's still a balance left in 2027, would expire at the end of June 30th, 2027.
All right. And I know that Chair Joachim will be here with us momentarily, so if we just want to hang out just for one more second. Representative Pryor.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I just want to take this opportunity to comment that I actually heard specifically from school business officers that I represent that they actually preferred this method of talking about unemployment insurance to be a specific account that they can draw down from rather than just a general addition to the formula. So I know there was a lot of discussion on that, but I think I appreciate the discussion that we had to come up with this amendment as a way of going forward establishing this. And I think that will be there's a lot of uncertainty around this, and I think the reason we made this choice was to satisfy that uncertainty.
Yeah.
I think that if people give it a chance, we'll see how this works, and of course we'll be open to more discussion about the best way to talk about unemployment insurance for these new hourly workers that we are so grateful that will be covered now, because underlying this is the idea is economic security for some of our lowest paying jobs in our school districts. And we know that these people deserve our respect, mm-hmm. and they deserve that security of knowing that they'll have a job. And if they don't have it, if they're not guaranteed a job, that they just like every other seasonal worker, they have this unemployment insurance that will get them through until that they can find a job. So I'm really glad for the work that we were able to do on this and appreciate the leadership of both of our chairs, finance chairs.
Thank you, Representative Pryor. Yeah, I think the way that we have structured this makes a lot more sense, having that special revenue line so that districts can also code for special ed and not have to, mess with the rest of the coding that they'll be doing. Plus, with this amount in there, we'll be able to track how the schools are using those dollars, where the school that is providing the most opportunities for those hourly workers to continue working in the schools during the summer, and then also for them to see just exactly what a difference this makes for their hourly workers, who oftentimes, you know, I was talking to my caucus, and I'm like, these are the people that take our kids to the bathroom, that meet them at the bus in the morning and say goodbye to them when they send them off on the bus at the end of the day. These are the workers that are providing the nutritious meals, that are, you know, working with the kids that are kind of having troubles both academically and emotionally, socially. And so I am just very pleased that we are able to bring this group of hourly workers into that opportunity for unemployment. Representative Hill, did you want to say anything?
No, I would just echo that. This is an issue that's been alive and well for decades. This is an important step, and the resources are there to cover the costs, and I'm proud of this work. So thank you.
Thank you. So with that, Rep. Clarity, would you like to move the A86 for adoption?
So moved.
Thank you very much. All in favor of the A86, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The A86 is adopted. Now to jump back on schedule, I think had we finished with the Article 1 map? Okay, if you would like to continue, was it Ms. Joseph?
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. I believe we left off on the replacing paper forms. House Section 33, and that had no comparable provision on the Senate side. So we did take the House language with that A65 amendment. And then the next two sections are, House Article 1, Section 34 was a House-only provision, and this ensured that a program that is intended to be funded only once is funded just once, if this provision was included in another bill, another omnibus bill. And then Section 35 and of the House and Senate Section 23 were the appropriation sections that Ms. Holfer and Ms. Beckel completed. Thank you. And then the last three sections are related to the repealer. The first one was House-only provision that was included, and this repeals the existing manner of computing compensatory pupil units and replaces it with that new method that was, I think, Mr. Strom reviewed in the middle of this article. The next repealer was a Senate-only repealer, and this repealed the additional general education aid for compensatory revenue that was put into law when the universal meals passed, and that's just bundled back into the general education appropriation. And then the last repealer was the same on both bodies, and this relates to repealing services for school contractors related to the unemployment insurance benefits that's no longer needed.
Great. Any questions or comments? Well, not seeing any, I think we will move on to adopting all the sections to Article 1 as amended. But we want to make that statement. Nonpartisan staff is authorized to make needed technical changes to confer with the conference committee intent. And with that, all in favor of Article 1 as amended, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Article 1 is adopted. All right, we'll move on to Article 5. We will talk about the amendments first, and then, again, we will go back to the map. Members, I just want you to know that the A93 is not to be adopted. It has been replaced by the A102. So we will not be moving on. We will not be adopting the A93, just FYI. All right. So Article 5, pardon? Yes, we, oh, my goodness. Did we adopt, yes, Senator, Representative Clarity did move the 886. Yep. Yep, we did. Yep. All right, let's move on to Article 5. And as I said, let's go through those amendments to begin with. And we have the A43, and that's a Senate amendment. Who would like to explain the A43?
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. The A43 relates to the student support personnel aid, and that adjusts the amounts to ensure that they match the appropriation, and then just makes a technical change for the intermediates and cooperatives that they are served and not enrolled.
Any questions or comments? Not seeing none. Representative or Senator Makewade, would you like to move the A43?
So moved, Madam Chair.
Thank you so much. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? The A43 is accepted. All right, on to the A69, and this is a House amendment.
Madam Chair and members, Christina Pera from House Research. The A69 amendment amends the definition of teacher shortage, and it just takes the Office of Higher Education out of the process of determining what is a shortage area.
Questions or comments on that? Seeing none, Representative Pryor, would you like to make the motion to move the A69?
So moved.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? The A69 is adopted. Next, we have House from the House, the A81.
Madam Chair, the A81 amendment modifies requirements for a Tier 3 license. The paragraph is rewritten for clarity, also for consistency with regards to testing requirements for out-of-state applicants, and also modifies the requirements, for teachers coming from another country.
Any questions or comments? Seeing none, Representative Clarity, would you like to move the A81?
So moved.
All right, all in favor of the A81, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? The A81 is amended, is adopted. All right, on to the A82. I think that's a House amendment. Do you have that in your packet, Ms. Pera? Do you want to get her a copy?
And I just realized my mic wasn't on, but I can. This applies to the teacher licensure exams.
Thank you, Ms. Pera. Any questions or comments? I think Rep. Hill is looking this one up. You're good to go. Would you like to move the A83, Representative Hill?
So.
All those in favor of the A83, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those. Oh, excuse me, 82. I'm sorry. 82. All in favor of the A82, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The A82 is adopted. So now we're going to move on to the A83.
Madam Chair, members, the A83 amendment modifies the short call substitute pilot section, and it requires that the district's background check be completed before the teacher would be able to work as a sub.
Any questions or comment on that? Chair Joachim, would you like to move the A83?
I will move the A83 to Article 5.
Thank you so much. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The A83 is adopted. And now we are on to the A92. It's another House amendment.
Madam Chair, members, the A92, this is one of the Grow Your Own programs, and the House and Senate had some different language, so this will take the Senate language, both with the House effective date.
All right. Any questions or comments? Seeing none, Representative Pryor, would you like to move the A92? All right. All in favor of the A92, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The A92 is adopted as amended. And then we're not doing the A93, so we will move on to the A94.
Madam Chair, members, the A94 amends requirements for Tier 3 licensure. So this restores language that was stricken in the House bill regarding the Tier 2 to Tier 3 pathway.
Any questions or comments? Senator Swadzinski, would you like to move the A94?
So moved.
All right. All in favor of the A94, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? The A94 has been adopted. A95.
Madam Chair, members, the A95 amendment. The QComp language has some numbers in the numbers vary relating to the VPK. So this language makes the adjustment to reflect the VPK language in the bill.
All right. Any questions or comments? Seeing none, Senator Makeway, would you like to adopt the A95?
So moved.
Senator Makeway moved the A95. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? The A95 is adopted. And now we are on to the last one, A102.
Madam Chair, members, the A102 amends two sections. One is a Grow Your Own program, and the second is a special education teacher pipeline. And both changes relate to the eligibility of a teacher preparation program. So eligibility would be programs approved by PELSB, programs accredited by the Council for the Accreditation of Educator Preparation, and that are private nonprofit institutes of higher education, and institutions that have an articulated transfer pathway with a board-approved teacher preparation program.
Any questions? Senator Makeway.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I think this question is mostly because when you hear like all these different proposals and you're like, where did we land? Did we, for the teacher licensure exam and licensure fees, I feel like at one point we had a provision that covered that for people. Is that still the case?
Yeah. So that was one of our propositions in the Senate, that we would cover those fees, and that is included in our final bill.
Madam Chair.
Mm-hmm.
So then would grant funds need to be used for that then, for the Grow Your Own, if we're covering the cost of those?
So I don't... Jenna, excuse me. Ms. Helseth, would you please help us with this one?
Ms. Hofer,
I'm sorry. Ms. Hofer.
Madam Chair,
And Senator McQuaid, thank you for the question. Madam Chair, you are correct that the conference committee agreement does provide $1.4 million in fiscal year 2024 to cover the cost of teacher licensing and exam fees. This is a one-time appropriation that's available through fiscal year 2027 and would essentially be drawn upon until it ran out. And so as a result, there would be, you know, additional teacher licensing and exam fees after that. That would be eligible for the Grow Your Own Dollars. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Hofer.
Thank you.
Any other questions? All right. So now we get to move on to hearing all about the good stuff in this article. Did we adopt that one? 105. All right. Or 102. Senator McQuaid, would you like to move the A-102?
So moved.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? The A-102 is adopted. All right. So Article 5, we've got this lovely, lovely map. And I think we will, who is going to begin running through that one for us? One of our House members? Ms. Para? Or Ms. Lewis from the Senate?
Madam Chair and members, I will begin because eventually Ms. Para is going to have a lot to say. Okay. So, looking at the Article 5 map or table, House Section 1, Senate Section 1 are similar, and we have the agreement is to take the House language and regarding the collective bargaining for the teachers and the school districts to meet and negotiate about their plan for what happens during e-learning days in the district. Then Senate Section 1 is a program to a grant program to close educational opportunity gaps. Section 2 of the House file is similar with Section 6 of the Senate file, and the agreement is to take the Senate Section 6, which details or the curriculum policy that a district is required to have under this language. Then House Section 3 is the same as Senate Section 5, and it's increasing the percentage of teachers of color and American Indian teachers in Minnesota. And then this is the beginning of a long run of House sections.
Madam Chair and members, the next set of sections is House only language. Section 4 modifies provision relating to when a license is required. And then from Sections 5 through 12 are definitions related to teacher licensure. These include transfer pathway, district, shortage area, which was amended by the A69. Then going on to Section 13, the next few sections relate to PELSBY and their duties. So Section 13 relates to teacher licensure. Section 14, that they are required to maintain a register of persons licensed. Section 50 is their rulemaking authority. Section 60 is their authority to grant permissions. Sections 17 and 18 relate to reports that PELSBY issues. Section 19 relates to teachers, has provisions relating to teachers' supervisory and support personnel and definitions. Section 20 is their authority to issue licenses. Section 21 relates to the board's authority with respect to support personnel qualifications. Section 22 relates to the licensure via portfolio process. Section 23 is the staff automated reporting section. And then there start the tiered license provisions. So section 24, just grant me one second here. Section 24 is the tier one application requirements, and these modifies how the application is submitted. Section 25 is a technical change. There are a number of these changing candidate to applicant. Section 26 modifies the exemptions for a bachelor's degree. This is a new subdivision that adds several fields where a bachelor is not required. Section 27, still on tier one, and this one strikes language regarding written comments that the board might submit. Section 24 modifies strikes language relating to the board and how long they have to issue or deny a tier one license. Section 29 brings a teacher with a tier one license within the definition of a teacher for purposes of Pell Grant. Section 30 modifies the requirements, the application requirements for a tier two license. Section 31 modifies the exemptions from a bachelor's degree for tier two, and that mirrors the change for the tier one. Section 32 is some legacy language related to a change in the requirements for a Tier 2 license. Section 33 is, again, the change in the timeline for when the board would respond to, would issue or deny a Tier 2 license. And then sections... That brings us to language that is in both bills. Section 34 is the Tier 3 requirements, and that was reflected in the A81 amendment previously reviewed. And then Section 35 No, I'm sorry. Section 35 was the one amended by the A94, about the Tier 2 to Tier 3 pathway. Section 36, again, reflects the change in exemption from a bachelor's degree, so similar to the change that was in the Tier 2 and Tier 3. Section 37... Section 37 was some legacy language that the House had before, and I might just need a minute. Section 37 was some legacy language that the House had that related to the going from a Tier 2 to Tier 3 that's not necessary anymore, given the amendment that was previously adopted. So that one would not be on the list for adoption. Section 38 moves on to the Tier 4 license. And this one is Section 38. The proposal is for House language, and that changes the requirements from a Tier 4. One of the requirements was under current law is that the applicant not have been on an improvement process, and now it's that the applicant that currently has the Tier 3 complete the renewal requirements for the Tier 3. Section 39 is the teacher licensure assessments, and this language... changes their requirements for the pedagogy and content exams. So an applicant would be exempt from the exam requirements if they complete a board-approved preparation program, the licensure via portfolio, or a state-approved program from another state if they pass the licensure exams in that state. It also strikes the reading exam requirements. Section 40, this is house only language, is the remedial assistance requirements for remedial assistance for applicants taking the exams. Section 41 is license form requirements, strikes language there for the tier 3 and 4 license. Section 42 requires a teacher renewing any tier license to complete renewal professional development requirements relating to American the contemporary contributions of American Indians. Section 43 is a house only language relating to teacher preparation programs for bilingual and English as a second language teachers. Section 44 relates to ABE and ECFE teachers, allows them to qualify for tenure or continuing contract. And that was House and Senate language. Then Section 45 requires was the same in the House and Senate, and that requires District to annually report to Pelsby certain information about employees. Section 46 modifies the probationary period for teachers, going from 120 to 90 days, and also modifies the period for a teacher that's taught for 3 consecutive years in a single district or charter school. So the probationary period would be no longer than 1 year in any other district. Section 46. That's the same section. It's repeated twice if you're going down the side-by-side, matched up with the two provisions in the Senate coming from the two separate bills. Section 47, and you'll see that again in just a minute because it's mirrored for the continuing contract, modifies the teacher evaluation process. Section 48, it's that same change for the probationary period, but applying just to the tenure districts. Rather than continuing contract ones, then Section 49 is that teacher development process change for the tenure districts. Section 50 was the same for House and Senate and requires reporting of the hires and terminations. Section 51, that was the amendment, the A95 amendment, changing the numbers for QCOM based on the VPK changes. Section 52 is a short call sub teacher pilot, that was amended by the A83. Section 53 was the same for the House and Senate, that was the Come Teach in Minnesota hiring bonuses. Section 54 in the House was the same as Senate Section 11. And that was the supporting heritage and language culture teacher sections. Section 55 was the same as Section 12 in the Senate. That's the shortened to the CUGMEC, so Collaborative Urban and Greater Minnesota Educators of Color Grant Program. Sorry, I'm getting turned around now. This is set up. Section 49. No. Sorry. 55. Okay. Section 56 is where we are. That was House only language relating to student teachers. And that is. I believe that was relating to obsolete language. Section 57 was similar to the Senate language, and the provision proposed as the House language relating to teacher mentorship and retention. Section 58 is Grow Your Own District Programs. It was different than the Senate provision, and the final language was amended by the A102 amendment. Section 59 was similar to the Senate section. These are grants for programs serving high school students. That was Senate language as amended by the A92. Section 60 modifies Grow Your Own Program Account. That was House only language. Section 61 is the Special Education Teacher Pipeline Program. That was House only, and that's modified by the A102. Section 62 modifies the principal evaluations, and that was the same as Senate Section 16. Section 63 is the Student Support Personnel Aid, and that was modified by the A43 amendment that Ms. Gelseth reviewed for you. And then the next two sections are appropriations sections. Section 68 is a reviser instruction relating to the words candidate and applicant in the teacher licensure sections. And Section 69 is a repealer, and that includes a change to the Tier 2 requirements.
Thank you so much for that, Ms. Pera. That was a lot of words. And thank you for taking us through and knowing this bill so well. Are there comments or questions?
Yes. Madam Chair, I was just looking on A5R1, where we have some of the definitions that we've used in other sections and articles, but did we update these definitions to match those other ones? And I've just found the amendment, the A47 amendment from yesterday that we did on, I think it was in Article 2, was an example. I just don't know if we did that or not.
Let's look that one up. Ms. Lewis?
Madam Chair and members, I believe Senator McQuaid is referring to the changes in the definition to world's best workforce. And I think what we did was incorporate those changes in that amendment. So where it was separately in the bill, the side-by-side language, it was pulled into being one place.
Great. Could I? Any other comments or questions? All right. We are in recess. Should we vote first? Yeah, let's vote this one, and then we'll... So before you leave, let's move this Article 5 to adopt all sections in Article 5 as amended. And I'm going to ask Representative Hill to do that. And recognizing that nonpartisan staff is authorized to make needed technical changes to conform with the conference committee's intent. And would you move it, Representative Hill?
Madam Chair, I'm so sorry. I think we do need to talk about these definitions. I think we do have to change them.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
We will look at that while you are in recess and keep us posted.
Thank you.
We're in recess.
finish up here and move on with our day. We just finished adopting Article 5.
No, we have not.
No, we have not. Because we are about to leave, and I'm thinking maybe...
I have a motion, Madam Chair.
Okay. Senator Mayquite has a motion.
Madam Chair, I would like to make an oral amendment to Article 5, House Section 1, that the definitions under Subdivision 2 be updated to match what we have updated those definitions in other articles of this bill.
And I'm going to ask Ms. Lewis to repeat that for us.
Yes, Madam Chair and members. I believe it was yesterday we took up some amendments to the World's Best Workforce and adopted changes to the definitions of, in particular, anti-racist. Well, we need to make conforming amendments to the section that Senator Mayquay was referring to on page R1, Article 5, Section 1 on the Senate side, but we don't have those paper amendment here, so staff can make sure that the we're not having two competing definitions for the same words.
Sounds good.
Madam Chair, it's also the definition of institutional racism.
Yeah, okay. Senator Mayquay, any other questions or comments? All right, with that, I move to... Oh, I was just going to do that. Representative Kreisha.
So I just think this is premature. I mean, I think that these... we could certainly fix this in a technical later, or we could do it next year. Without having this in front of us, this seems to be just... And it could be fine, but it's just not as transparent and process-driven as I'd like, so I would oppose that.
Okay. All right. Any other comments or questions? All right. With that, Senator Mayquaid, would you like to move your oral amendment?
Yes, Madam Chair, so moved.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those in opposition?
No.
The ayes have it, and the oral amendment is adopted. All right. Now we are going to adopt all the sections to Article 5 as amended, with the understanding that nonpartisan staff is authorized to make needed technical changes to conform with the conference committee's intent. Chair Joachim, would you like to make that motion?
That's what I was going to do.
Pardon me? Oh, sure. Senator Swadzinski, would you like to make the motion for Article 5?
So moved.
All right. All in favor of adopting Article 5 as amended, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. In opposition?
No.
The ayes have it, and Article 5 is adopted. All right. Now we're moving on to our last article, Article 10, Early Education. Very exciting once again. Everyone wants to find their Article 10 package. This is a short and sweet one, but let's have our staff walk through these amendments. Let's see, and we really only have one, and that would be the A49. Ms. Hofer.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. In your packet for Article 10 is the A49 amendment. This amendment provides an appropriation to the Department of Education for $50 million in fiscal year 2025 only. The commissioner would be directed to reserve this amount for a future allocation towards 3,000 voluntary pre-kindergarten seats, and the 2024 legislature must provide direction to the commissioner on that allocation.
Any questions on the A49 members? Senator Clarity, would you like to move the A49 for adoption?
So.
Oh, Representative Clarity, OMG. Oh. All right, all in favor of the A49, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The A49 is adopted. Now we'll move on to the map. And we'll have staff walk through those three little articles.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Tim Strom from House Research. You've got the map for Article 10 in front of you. This article deals with the VPK program. Sections 2 and 3 are just conforming. Section 1 is the seat limit. And after the amendment, three things happen. First, the 4,000 voluntary pre-kindergarten school readiness plus seats that would expire at the end of 23 are extended permanently. So that extension starts in 24 and goes on into the future. The second thing that happens is the amendment that was just adopted, the A49 amendment, creates a set-aside reserve of $50 million for next session's legislature to direct the commissioner on how to allocate that $50 million through the voluntary pre-kindergarten program. That is expected to bring at least 3,000 seats into the fiscal 25 year. And then starting in fiscal 26 and thereafter, measuring from the 4,000 seats, which is a total of 7,160 in fiscal 24. In 26, then the number would be 12,160. So an increase over the 4,000 seats of 5,200 for 26 and later. So the mystery year is fiscal year 25, where we expect that the number would be slightly over 10,000 seats, but that still needs to be determined by next year's legislature. So, Madam Chair, those three changes essentially are the VPK program. As Ms. Hofer and Ms. Beckel mentioned earlier, the funding for those runs through all of the pupil-driven formulas and is accounted for their spreadsheet toward the top in the general education section.
Thank you, Mr. Strom. Are there any questions or comments? Senator Makewaid.
Madam Chair, and I just want to thank you for your work. I know it's in the Senate we have our early childhood stuff a little bit differently, and so I know you've had to be on multiple conference committees and putting that together, but this is just so important for our early learners, and I'm really excited about this whole section.
I am too, Senator Makewaid. So thank you for those positive words. Chair Joachim.
Thank you, Chair Kunesh. And I want to echo your statements, too. About 20 years ago, I started doing advocacy work around early childhood education. For me, it was ECFE that saved my children from me, and then beginning to realize just how important it was for all of our kids to be ready to start in kindergarten so they can take advantage right away of learning as quickly as they can. So thank you for the investment in VPK.
You bet. Representative Hill.
No, I would speak in support and just thrilled that we're going to continue the legacy and the work that Mark Dayton did so many years ago. So thrilled to be here.
Thanks, Rep. Anyone else? All right. So I think we are ready to adopt Article 10, the early education portion of this. I think I will adopt all the sections of Article 10 as amended, recognizing that nonpartisan staff is authorized to make technical changes to conform with the conference committee's intent. All in favor of Article 10 as amended, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Article 10 is amended. Members, excuse me, as amended is adopted. Right now, what we're going to do is I'm going to ask Senator Swadzinski to make a motion to adopt Article 13. It's the forecast article where the staff notes differ just a little bit, so I want to make sure that it's not today. We did it on another day. It was the forecast article, and I just want to make sure that we've got it all covered.
So moved.
Thank you. All in favor of adopting Article 13, the forecast article, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Article 13 is adopted, just in case it hadn't been. All right. So with that, members, that concludes our conference committee meetings here today. And I know that all of these articles are going to have to go to the revisor to get put into a full conference report. And once that is completed, then we will have to sign off on that report. So watch your emails over the weekend if they do get that ready. Oh, I'm so sorry. But anyways, watch for those. And before we adjourn, I'm going to ask if anybody else has any final comments. Representative Clarity.
I really appreciate the process that we've had. It seems like we started with the child in the center and then made all our decisions around that. And it's a really holistic approach from the pre-K piece to EL, special ed, and then looking at the teachers and how they can support and reflect the children in the classroom. And even the basic of having food. So making sure that the environment is safe for them and that they're getting exactly what they need. And the discussions that we've had on each of these articles made it really easy for these meetings to go. So it looked like we were just going through a lot of amendments, but we also had really deep and rich conversations around it so we could come, you know, together and make some decisions. So thank you, team. This has been a wonderful experience.
Yeah. Senator Makeway.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Chairs. This is like, yeah, I just don't want the moment to pass us by. This is the largest infusion of education spending we've had, I think, ever. Or at least, Polly, thank you, ever. And just increasingly throughout this session, we have seen over and over again with every single omnibus bill, every single budget, prioritizing children and families and working people. And this bill, of course, did that. And I'm just, like, I have a one-year-old, and so she'll be in, you know, pre-K, hopefully, universal pre-K maybe by the time she's four, but she'll be in kindergarten soon, and knowing that she will be entering into a public school and classroom where her teachers have had years of these kinds of investments and years of the support and years of her paras and her school support staff having the support is just so amazing to me. We're going to see results from this for literally generations. And I know we talk about seven generations out, right? And so this is that kind of budget. This is that kind of bill. This is that kind of work. And I'm just so grateful to have done this with all of you and for all the stakeholders that have participated and the parents and the students even. But it was really evident that I think more than half of this committee is teachers. That is obvious in this bill. So thank you for everybody's work. It's been wonderful. And thank you to our staff. Thank you. Thank you. Please never leave us. We love you.
Thank you, Senator Makeway. And, you know, we are indebted to you for all of the hard work you put into the READ Act to ensure that we, you know, are brought back to that very fundamental skill of reading, and not just reading to learn in school, but that reading for enjoyment, as we talked about the other day. So appreciate that. Senator Swadzinski.
I think Representative Hill had his hand up before I did.
All right, Representative Hill.
Either way, thank you, Chair Kunis. Just a special thanks to the fellow committee members. This moment that's about to unfold is why I ran for office. And as we invest in and move forward, taking care of our most precious natural resource, our young people here in the state of Minnesota, others will take notice. And they will not only take notice of the actions here, but the results. And so proud to be a part of this team and want to thank the chairs, all three of you who did amazing work, and our colleagues. Thank you.
Now, Senator Swadzinski.
Yeah, thanks, Madam Chair. I just want to echo everything that's been said. I also want to give a special shout out to the Republicans on the committee. You might not have always felt like you were being heard, but I hope at some point you felt like maybe that time you were heard. And so thanks to all the Republicans. I just also want to say I've been thinking in my head a lot the last couple weeks. Somebody much smarter than me once said everything will be all right in the end, and if it's not all right, it's not the end. And I really feel like right now everything is all right. And I also just want to say, you know, when I used to teach, I erroneously, now I feel bad about it, but I used to talk about Otto von Bismarck's quote about how lawmaking's like sausage making. You never want to watch what's happening because it's disgusting. And so, but now I realize that I've never been on a conference committee before, and how much I thoroughly enjoyed working with so many people, especially the critical staff that makes us senators and representatives look much better than we actually are. And I just am in awe that every single time we said, can that be done, they'd say, yeah, we can do that, and they never once said with hesitation in their voices. And I always love when they always say, that's a good question, you know, because it's music to my ears. And but, you know, in reflection on this entire process, like I said, I have never been on a conference committee before. I don't want to use sausage making anymore. Now I'm starting to realize it's like conducting a symphony or building a skyscraper or putting together a wedding cake, and there might be some slips and glitches and snafus, but ultimately the end product is something that I hope all members of the team can be very, very proud of. And so, anyways, it's been a sheer joy and a pleasure to work with every single person in this room right now, and everybody that put this together over the last 5 months, and in some respects, 64 years, with respect to me anyways. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator Swadzinski. Rep. Krisha, did you want to say a word?
Sure. And thank you. Thank you to the senators and the House members that I've worked with. Just a couple of comments that I'll make. When you're in the minority, one of the luxuries that you have is you don't get as many conversations from many of the people that walk through these halls. And most of the conversations that I've had are superintendents and business managers, as well as teachers that I've worked with in the past. And there's a lot of agreeable parts of this bill, and a lot that I think we should be very pleased to see move through this body, through both bodies and to the governor's desk. With that said, there's always concerns. There's always uncertainty, and I still hear that uncertainty. And the uncertainty that I hear is not an uncertainty of condemnation. It's an uncertainty of we want to be successful, and we want to make sure that the charter that we're giving does do the best by the students that they have. And so one of the things that I think about with the new commissioner, are relatively new, is this bill will be passed at some point, signed into law, and the commissioner will be chartered to make that happen. And I hope that the commissioner takes that with the seriousness of being a former superintendent and takes the dollars at the Department of Education and remembers back to the struggles that the schools have and remembers that I hope that the intent of what we have here is not to put more burden on schools, not to put more uncertainty on the schools, but to remove that and make a pathway for success. There's certainly provisions in this bill that I find are too great to get to. I still think that we have some labor provisions that are going to be full of division, and I will have to see how that plays out. I also see a tremendous amount of success as we work towards the literacy goals and some of the many, many, many provisions that we put together, certainly making headway with the large surplus we have towards special ed is a nod to the leadership. And we have some transportation sparsity that we got to, as well as some other issues that I think help schools out. I hope that this becomes the platform of success. And I certainly have no problem if people come back to me and say, I told you so. But I've run enough companies to know that the most valuable people to me are the people that pat me on the back and the people that look me square in the eye and say, hey, look out for this. This may be coming, and you need to take care of that. So with that, I thank the process, I thank the people that are part of that process. And I just caution us that the uncertainty that we're creating in other bills and other labor provisions is something that's out there and it's real, and schools are worried about that. And they're worried about it because at the end of the day, the teachers, the administrators, the janitors, the staff members, in all aspects are working with kids, and they need to pull together and not worry about what's coming to them. They need to worry about how they can be successful. So with that, thank you for everyone's work.
Thank you, Representative Krisha. I think we have Representative Pryor. Did you want to say something?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Appreciate the comments that have come before me, and just to continue to build on that what we've been saying, I'd also like to take us back to the very beginning and where we came. The governor proposed a bill. We had our committees. I want to thank again the committee that I was able to work with, and to know that the work from both the Republicans and Democrats on that committee are reflected in this final bill, and it's better because of it. Very strong position that provision that was introduced first by Representative Bennett about showing, you know, the scarcity in greater Minnesota for special education teachers, and to how we can build that pipeline and make it stronger. And I think this is actually one of the best. I mean, there's so many great things in this bill, but I just want to highlight that things like that came from that committee discussion, and, you know, started in policy, moved to finance. And that's the process that we have, is that we didn't shut down these discussions, didn't say, you know, there's, we only want to think about one part of Minnesota, but we, you know, tried to be open and have lots of public comment about lots of public issues that were being debated. But to know then we came with those bills, you know, the governor's bills, the House bill, the Senate bills, and we had to blend them. And that's what this final product is. But it, I think the bills showed that shared values in all of the areas. So even though there were some provisions that may not have been in the Senate bill, it still reflected a shared value. And that even if it was a provision that was not in the House bill, it showed a shared value. And, you know, we had lots of discussions with people about what was in the bill, why it was in the bill, and why it was important to move forward. And at the end, we still had to make really difficult choices because our schools are so important to us and the needs are so great, but we did the best that we could. We couldn't do 5 and 5 on the formula and inflation. Impossible. And just people need to understand that. This state budget did not allow for that. Our values and our, you know, if we could, we would have, if that had been something available to us. It is historic. It's, we use that word all the time, but gosh, the amount of money that we put forward in this bill and the stability and security that we built into the future is historic. And if I think of all the one-year-olds out there, you just start crying because we think that we touched them in a good way. And that we thought about those one-year-olds and those one-year-olds' children going forward. So I really do appreciate the people I was able to work with and the people that we thought about and embraced in this build going forward. Thank you. Thank you, chairs.
Yeah, thank you, Representative. I'm wondering if Commissioner Jett would like to come up and perhaps say a word or two. She's not running out because you stepped up to the podium. She's doing double duty here.
Try not to make sure that, Chair Kunish, members, try not to take that personal. last time I was here, everybody started sneezing, and so I thought they were allergic to me. But with that, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for the access and opportunity that you are providing to young people throughout the state of Minnesota. It's an historic moment. It's an opportunity. There's excitement. Excitement in schools, excitement with MDE, excitement in communities. But now it's time to roll up our sleeves. And so we're the Department of Education, and districts around the state of Minnesota, they are starting to understand exactly what's going to be presented to them and the expectations of that. And so the one thing I wanted to say was, at the heart of everything that you were doing, at the heart of all of us that we were doing together, I'm thankful that everybody kept students, that people, the way that you said it, in terms of you kept students in the center of all decisions that were made. That is exactly what I'm most thankful for. The one thing that's there is it's time to implement, it's time to support, and now there's also that part about accountability. And so with that being said, that is part of MDE's charge, that's part of my charge, but what I want to tell you is we're up for that challenge. We're looking forward to it. And the bottom line is it was all about young people. It was all about the state of Minnesota and the future of Minnesota. So from this commissioner, the Department of Education, the governor's office, thank you. We're looking forward to it, and we're excited about it.
Thank you, Commissioner Jett. And Chair Joachim.
Thank you, Chair Kunish. It has definitely been a joy working with you.
Again,
I was going to say, from our start in the House together, just want to also thank our amazing staff, because they can't be thanked enough. And I would like to start out with nonpartisan staff between Christina Pera and Tim Strom and Sylvia Beckel and Chris Cassandra McGinnis, who now has a lot more work to do after this, and our CA, Polly Sigvenick, and our CA, Wilson Lee, and then our researcher, Maris Beltrami-Renquist. You guys are all amazing. Y'all make us look really good, and I want to thank Representative Cresha for always being willing to have an open-door process and talk, and your staff and Jody Withers also. That's been super helpful connecting with staff. And I have to just say it's been a real true pleasure getting to know the Senate staff a little bit more through this process, each and every one of you. And I think, Ms. Jelseth, I think I finally said your name right. And Ms. Hofer, Ms. Lewis, and then also your incredible staff. And Dana Elling and I go way back. And it's so fun to be able to work with you again, especially during this historic time. And also Sammy and Megan, thank you. Thank you all. And Ryan Majerius, how can I forget? We were Senate staff together. And Mr. Cook as well, nice to see you. And just thank you all for being here. And I want to thank every one of the people that came to testify in committee. And I forgot, of course, I forgot the House allies. I forgot Isabel. Isabel and Shamat. So thank you so very much for being here. Gotta give a shout out to House and Senate Media, because they make sure that this whole process is transparent so people can hear it either live or afterwards. But I really want to thank all the folks that came up and testified in committee through all our committee process and the bills, all the stakeholders that we've worked with on the outside and inside, and more importantly, those that work in our schools that have came up and shared their voices with us. Whether it be the folks that drive our kids to school, the folks that feed our kids, take care of our kids, our teachers, our administrators, our principals, but more importantly, our students. And I think we both had some pretty amazing student voices days where it helped us ground us in the work that we're doing. And I want folks across the country to know, with this bill, the historic investment we're making in our human capital, in our kids and in our future, making sure that our schools and our teachers and our staff have the tools they need to meet the kids where they're at, wherever they're at, whether it be academics and with literacy, math, their mental health, their social needs, and then that we're giving our schools the stability of funding moving forward that they will have to meet those needs. Yes, thank you. It's been pretty historic to be here at this time, and I can't keep saying $5.4 billion in 4 years really is pretty amazing, and I feel very blessed to have had a chance to be a part of such an amazing team that put this together. So thank you.
All right. So up to me. I will adjourn us here in just a minute, but I, too, can't say enough about the staff and the support that we have had through this process. Our Senate team is a brand new team, but when we won the majority in the fall, Senator Swadzinski and I looked at each other, and we were both a little bit giddy, and I remember sitting down and saying, well, you want to split education? And Swad said, what do you want? I want this. And I'm like, perfect. And from that moment on, we were pretty much joined in a common goal of focusing our attention and the legislation and the dollars so that they got to the classrooms and the students as our priority. Both of us as teachers recognize the very unique circumstances that our teachers are working under, and it's been very difficult for a while now, there's been a lot of teacher bashing and disrespecting of the profession of teachers, and I think Senator Swadzinski really made it clear that we wanted to elevate the voice of our teachers and put as much support systems and support efforts into the classroom to support our teachers, which is why we would like to see additional staffing in those classrooms to help with not just the academic part of teaching kids, but the ability to have some time to build the relationships with those children that we haven't when we have the large class sizes, but also to have additional staff to help those students that seem to be struggling the very, very most. For a long time, as a teacher myself, it was all about teaching to the test and getting those scores up. And, it was extremely painful for the children. It was extremely painful for the teachers. And I hope that these dollars that we are putting forward are going to relieve some of those pressures on our students and on our teachers so that we can get back to the business of centering learning, the joy of learning, the glorious understanding and comprehension that comes with learning. And this is what we started here this year. This is our first year. Senator Swadzinski and I expect to be here for another 3 years, and we're expecting the rest of you to join us back here in a few years. But this is just the first step in reconstructing and rebuilding an educational system that outpaces the rest of the nation, but really is suited for our Minnesota students and our Minnesota future. So thank you all very much for the work you're doing. Thank you to all the allies and the organizations and the nonprofits that support the education of our students. Thank you to the parents. Thank you to the volunteers, and thank everyone that has the children in mind, because we want to make sure that is our entire focus here. So with that, unless there are any more comments, we are adjourned.